Amen. Jesus be the fence. Do y'all agree with that? Give me an amen if you can hear this microphone to make sure it's working, because I did have some technical difficulties a little while ago. But it is so good to see y'all here tonight. Again, as I always say, it's Friday night. And y'all know what that means, that we all gather together to hear another word from the Lord. Hopefully it'll speak to you as it does to me. I'm glad to see you here. And my favorite saying is always that I say this, that you could have been elsewhere, but y'all decided to come here tonight. So I thank you, and I'm glad to see you. Got a few that won't make it here. They sent me some texts saying they got some other things because they're kind of partaking of some Good Friday evening services. So I can understand that, you know, because they won't be part of their church online streaming. Hey, and that's cool because, again, as long as they're part of some fellowship, that is a good thing. Amen. So, with this, you know, I'm really, if you want to say, happy or excited about this message here, you know, always when the message comes to me, I'm always excited, folks, you know, because again, I get to present it to you. And then, you know, even though after I type it and put it in my files, you know, one day that whenever I am pastoring some church, I have plenty of sermons to go because y'all were the trial run. So I'm glad that you're here. So with this, the other day I was working on part of a gate to a fence of a lady's yard that I cut grass for. And when I was out in the yard working on that fence, my wife, she walked up to watch me placing the little pieces of the fence together. It's like little picket fences. I'm sure some of you have seen what picket fences look like. And while I was placing the pieces together, you know, repairing that gate that she had, I looked up at her and I kind of, you know, smiled at her a little bit and said, you know, hey, this could turn into some sort of a sermon. Now, I kind of didn't give it that much of a thought, you know, but afterwards I started thinking, yeah, what a fence is for, you know, what can a fence do, you know? So while I was thinking about that just real quick, when I looked at her and said that, I asked her, what do fences do and what are their purposes? So she kind of looked at me and says, well, you know, fences keep people or things out to prevent them from coming inside. I said, okay, that's a good one, you know, what else? She said, well, you know, fences keep things inside from getting out. And I kind of nodded and I said, okay, what else? So she stopped and gave me some thoughts. Said, well, they could offer protection. And I said, that's good. But protection from what? And I kind of stopped her a little bit and I saw the look in her face and it kind of made her think a little bit more deeply of what fences could or could not do. And I started thinking the same thing myself. So my question for you tonight, my friends, what does fences do and what is their purpose in your Christian life? What do fences do and what is their purpose for you in your Christian life? So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6. That's going to be our reading scripture for tonight. Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6. And it reads this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Straight to the point, but I think you will get it later on once we get in a minute. Let's go to the word of prayer real quick. Gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord Jesus, we come to you with a humble heart and submit ourselves to you and your authority. We ask of you, Father, if there's anything within us, any iniquity or any sins that we have not confessed to you today before we gather together to listen to this message, forgive us where we have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, we don't intentionally try to do sin, but a lot of times it's just we do it, you know, and I'm glad that the Holy Spirit is with us to show us that we need to repent of such things, but I always like to make sure before I stand before these fine folks here tonight There is nothing in my heart that I have not confessed to you before the start of this message. Father, I ask of you to put a protective hedge around the folks here tonight. All of us is experiencing this lockdown, this virus, this corona thing. Some of us, it's, you know, we're just getting to the point, you know, we just kind of don't want to hear nothing about it anymore. But again, we just have to sit back and understand you have it under control. But Father, I am asking in the name of Jesus, flatten this thing out. Get it out the way. I know you have a plan, you have a purpose, and you know, we just have to trust that plan and trust that purpose and understand that you do have it under control. And I hope that many who don't know Jesus because of this come to know Jesus. And I hope many just don't come run, you know, to you and surrender their lives to you. Then after this thing's over, they go right back to their normal lives. I hope that doesn't happen, but I hope many says yes. And that's my prayer. And my prayer is also for tonight. Watch over these kind folks here tonight. Father, you know their prayer request. You know they are asking something from you. Help them in whatever they are dealing with. Help them in the difficult times. Help them in the requests they are making before you. Be with them, guide them, and take care of them. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Now, y'all get to see the message every time. It's flashed over and over in the room. But I do title this message, What Are Fences For? Now, if you're like me, and I started doing some research on this, and many people that I have read on the internet and some books that I kind of researched this week, many people don't like fences or boundaries in their lives. And yet in the Bible has many and clear sets of guidelines that we, you and I, are to live by. We need to set up fences that are based upon biblical principles. So some questions was asked the other day in the room, you know, that was trying to give a hint to what possible this message is going to be at, and I kind of gave a little teaser. But, you know, and some answers I seen were some good answers. I wanted to add them in here. I just couldn't get it to flow the way this message was going. But again, the fact remains, according to the Word of God, folks, we do need to set up clear biblical principles in our life. In other words, we need to set up fences. We have to. And I hope that you understand later on this message, you understand why. Because when I started looking at this, that God, when you look at His Word, He gives us the guidelines. He has the plan right there. Everything that we need to know, all we need to know, is written in His words. And just like Noah, He gave Noah instructions. He told him how to build the ark. And if you really think about it, and you really look at the Word, and you apply it to your lives, you'll understand that's instructions for you. And there is instructions in there on how to set up proper fences. But see, a lot of times, it is dangerous when we don't set up fences, because often we will, without thought, without even thinking about it, cross out of the pasture of God's will and His blessings. See, if you don't think about it, sometimes we will cross out into the pasture away from His will and His blessings. That's why we have to understand we need to set up those fences. We need to have those boundaries. And I will explain to you a little bit later on why it is very important to have those fences in your Christian life. So in tonight's message, I'm going to help you understand. I'm going to lead us in several practical ways why fences are very important. And three reasons, that's all I'm going to focus on, three reasons why fences are so important in your life. And they are, fences are for our protection, meaning they keep evil out. Fences sets up boundaries of habitations meaning they tell us where we can safely walk about or roam. And third, fences identify us. They tell us who we belong to. So the first reason for fences are for our protection. They keep the evil out. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13 says this, my friends. See, that's why I got to keep the fences around my mind. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 13 says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen. And what this is saying, my friends, that all manner of evil, lust, and desires and imaginations prey upon the unfenced soul. It is of no use for you to say, "Lead us not into temptation." God will hear your prayer, and He will not lead you there, but you are leading yourself into it. You are tempting the devil to tempt you. So if you leave yourself open to evil influences, the Spirit of God will be grieved. You will grieve the Holy Spirit if you allow yourself to be open to evil influences. And He may leave you to the reap of the results to your folly. Because when you allow evil influences to infiltrate you, and when you grieve that Holy Spirit, my friends, He will step back. And He'll leave you to your own demise. So a lot of times when we are battling a lot of temptation or a lot of evil attacks, as I call it, a lot of times, I hate to say it this way, we are the fault. We are the ones that's allowing it. And we wonder why God doesn't help us. Well, yeah, God is helping us because He's trying to show us the type of fences we must build. But when we're willing to kick down the fence or knock holes in it or open the door up, I guarantee you know what's going to happen. You're granting the evil one permission to come on in. That's what fences are doing, is to keep the evil one out. But if you walk over there and say, "Come on in." If you listen to things with your ears, if you watch things with your eyes, if you hang around certain places, certain friends or whatever, guess what? You're inviting that stuff to come in. I got a bad habit of doing it myself. I tried watching some show last night thinking, hey, it might be a nice little show to binge watch. And I think, 8 seconds, 12 seconds in the show, the F word came out. Oh, my goodness. And this is a remake of the old television show, The Twilight Zone. I'm like, oh. But see, my mind first went, well, okay, I can let that slide. But then I had to think about the message. No, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be building a fence. So if I allow that to keep coming into my life, I'm giving the evil one everything he wants. I'm giving him what he wants. What thank you, friends? Have you not better attend your fences at once? Are your fences broken? Do they have holes or gaps in them? If so, you better mend them and get them fixed before the evil one overtakes you. A broken fence cannot offer you full protection of the evil wiles of the devil and his dominions. Friends, place that holy fence up and let it surround you in order for him to protect you. Because we, those of us who are born again, belong to Jesus Christ. And we are to set a clear boundary line. When we are following Jesus Christ, we are to set a clear boundary line so that way you and I can say, "Trespassers, beware. Y'all seen those signs? Beware of trespassing. Trespassers beware. And what that is saying, that is warning you, is talking about if you come into this area, something's going to happen. Most likely, if it's private land, you will get arrested. But whenever we place a boundary around our lives to the evil one, we tell him, trespassers beware, guess who he's going to have to contend with? Anybody willing to take a shot at it? Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit. That's who he's going to have to contend with. And I want to warn you about this. Do not yield an inch to the enemy. You give him an inch, he wants a foot. You give him a foot, he wants two. You give him two, he wants four. You give him four, he wants eight. You see where I'm going with this? What I need to tell you and help you understand, we need to make that wall higher. The more he seeks to enter, the harder he tries. We set and mend those fences so this adversary may never, ever find a gap to enter, because when the walls has fallen, guess what? The protection is gone. That's why it's important to set those boundaries. That's why it's important to have that fence, because if that fence falls, that protection is gone. The second reason for fences are, fences sets up the bounds of habitation, and they tell us where we can safely roam. Now, I'm sure all y'all can kind of understand this a little bit. Y'all probably seen sheep inside of a fenced-in area, cows, chickens, farm animals, anything. And they're there for a reason, because we put them there for them just to stay within that area. And sometimes, you know, even in the wild countries and stuff, if an animal gets outside that fence, guess what he's setting himself up for? To become attacked. Because there's something else outside on the other side of that fence waiting on. So that's why we set the bounds of habitation, so that way it tells us our safe area to walk. And like I said earlier, many of us does not like boundaries, but they are what defines your identity. They are like the property lines around your home. And you can say, this is my property, and that is not my property. This is me, what I value, am good at, believe, need, or feel. And that is not of me. To know yourself and to be secure that you are loved is essential to all relationships and activities. The better your boundaries of self-awareness and self-definition are, the greater your capacity to offer empathy and love to others. Good boundaries help you care for others because you have a stable foundation to operate from, and are not distracted or depleted by personal insecurities or blind spots. A boundary is what divides one person from another, so that each can have separate identities, responsibilities, and privileges. A boundary creates necessity space, or necessary space, between individuals. Now, we kind of understand that, what we're hearing about this COVID-19. 6 feet. 6 feet. Stay within 6 feet away from me. So what we're saying, we're creating boundaries. You know, my wife was just telling me a story and went to that. She was standing in line waiting to check out. Some lady started eyeballing her, looking down at the floor, looking at the floor. At first, she didn't get it, but then she realized that lady was telling her, you're in my space. That's the same way with boundaries for us and our fence line, our property line. We are creating that space. We are telling the world, hey, this is my property. Stay away, Jack. Mainly to the enemy. You come at me, guess what? I'm going to stick somebody else on you. I'm going to get the Holy Spirit to come tear you up a little bit. See, boundaries creates that necessary space for us between individuals, and healthy boundaries define expectations and show respect to others. Oh, I can recognize your space. Okay, cool. I'm cool with that. But here's mine too now. You got to be okay with that space too. But folks, the Bible commands us to control ourselves, whereas our human nature has the natural desire to control others. That's within our nature. Our human nature loves sometimes to control other people. And a lot of times we're doing it and we don't realize that we are doing it. I had a bad habit of doing it myself for many years. I had to allow the Holy Spirit to show me I need to back off on that. I was a bit of a control freak myself. I had to have things my way. But I learned my way is not God's way. So I had to learn to back off. So that's why I'm saying our natural desire is to control others. And we got to understand we need to back off on that. Because if we don't, if left unchecked, our natural desires run roughshod over others. Or in other words, we run smack over them and run them down in the ground. And that can cause devastating effects. Why am I saying this? Why we need to set those boundaries? Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Plain and simple. There's your instructions. It says, do not be equally yoked together with, unbelievers? Really? No, wait a minute. That can't be right, right? No, the Word of God says so. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Proper boundaries aids the believers in keeping out worldly influences. Children of light have no fellowship at all with darkness, and thus separate ourselves from the world. Now, I talk to a lot of people a lot like this, and I tell them sometimes, you know what? I know it's hard and difficult sometimes, even with family members. And they ask me for advice, you know, what I do with this person, that person, whatever, whatever, whatever. And I usually say, okay, you know what? It's time for you to separate yourself from them. Well, Jim, but ain't we supposed to love them? Yeah. Shouldn't we pray for them? Yeah. But there comes a time that we have to set up the proper boundaries of our habitation. That way, okay, you know what? I can no longer be part of you. I tried. It's time for separation. Time to walk away. Leave them alone. Sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's difficult, but you have to set those boundaries because you're putting up that fence to protect and guard your heart. I had to do this with family members. And it's hard. But I needed to. I needed that separation. Because again, Scripture is telling us very clear. We are not to be equally yoked with them. Now, I'm not saying don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. I do every day. I pray for my whole family. I pray that they come to their senses and see Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of times I don't go around them no more because I'm setting my boundaries for my sake, my joy, my peace, and my happiness. And folks, I want you to understand being kind and friendly is Christ-like. It is. But we are not to embrace the world's way of doing things. How can I tell you this? Or who can tell you this? God's words. Very clear. Look what James chapter 4, verse 4 says about that. Look what it says, not to embrace the world's way of doing things. It says, adulterers and adulteress. Do you not know that? Hey, pay attention to this and read it very, very, very slow. Do you not know that friendship with the world is an enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world. Look at the warning in the last half of that. Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's some harsh realities. That's a hard pill to swallow. But that's the word of God telling us right there. If you want to be a friend of that world, guess who becomes your enemy? I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself, but we can't walk that fence line. We can't straddle that fence to have one leg on this side and one leg on that side. No more, friends. We can't do that. We can't have it both ways. We can't serve two masters. Jesus warned us about that. If you want to claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but yet you still want to love the world and be part of that world, then you just became an enemy of God, and you're not a true follower of God. Harsh reality, isn't it? Now, I do want to say this. Always is not to keep people away. No, it's not. But when people are being destructive, the boundaries that you and I set limits the evil they commit against us. Let me repeat that. When people are being destructive that you know that you're dealing with, the boundaries that you and I set limits the evil they can commit against us. Boundaries are about taking responsibilities for our own lives. God gives us freedom to choose to live within His boundaries or outside of them. He gives us a choice. And to live outside of God's boundaries, folks, here's another harsh reality. To live outside of God's boundaries means to accept the consequences that happens to you. I don't know how many of you may have heard this, but if you dabble with sin, there's always a warning that comes with that. Pay me now or pay me later. Sin always has its consequences. Always. Always. I don't care what you may think or whatever you may have interpreted, folks. Paul is very clear on that in Romans. If you study Romans, sin has its consequences, even for us, believers. Why I'm saying this? Let's take a person who's an alcoholic for 50 years, gives his life to Christ. 6 months later, finds out he got cirrhosis of the liver and a few months to live. Sometimes they get angry and blame God. A smoker who's been smoking for the better part of his life, 2, 3, 4 packs of cigarettes almost a day, surrenders his life to God. 6 months later, finds out stage 4 cancer. And they wonder why. Well, God, you're supposed to help me with all this. God did help you. He saved you. But there are still consequences to your sins. And even us as believers, we sin, be ready to pay the price. You know, just because we surrendered to Jesus, just because we said yes to Jesus, does not grant you the right to continually go out and commit sin. You don't have that right. You don't. You keep going out there and keep committing sin and sin and sin and sin and say, oh, I'm a follower of Christ, but keep sinning. Folks, you have never been converted. No change. And I'm sure there are many people that we know who said yes to Christ, but if you watch them, the evidence, the fruits of their labors does not dictate it, does not show it. No change. Some folks say, oh, I said that prayer when I was a 12 or 13 or an adult, whatever, and still live like the world, that's why I told you earlier, you can't be part of the world because you became an enemy of God. So apparently you did not surrender. There was no real conversion. But even if we do convert, even if we do say yes to Christ, even though we have surrendered all to Him, if we dabble with sin, prepare to pay the piper. Sin has its consequences. That's why it's so important to set those boundaries. Because when we say yes to Christ, there is a habitation, there is a boundary we must live in. And that's why the Word of God is so important. It tells you how to live. Sadly, some folks say, I don't want to live like that. Why not? God's words, His protections, His boundaries is for a reason. Because, folks, I want you to understand this. When you are living inside of God's boundaries, it brings blessings. But when you are living outside of His boundaries, it only brings destruction and death. It only brings destruction and death when you live outside of God's boundaries. For the third reason for fences are, fences identify us. They tell us who we belong to. John chapter 15 verses 1 through 4 says this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, unless you abide in me. Now, if you read the rest of that chapter, there's a whole lot going on there, but there's a lot going on just in this section. I told you a little bit earlier, I got ahead of myself, but there's a lot going on right here. Bottom line, my friends, what Jesus is really saying right here, there's no ifs, no buts, no doubts. What He is telling us right now, folks, there is no straddling the fence. None. I'm telling you right now, this is what I'm saying when you read this. There's no straddling that fence. Because what He is saying, if you abide in Him, make note of this, you no longer abide in the world. And it will hate you as the result. And what Jesus is laying out for us, what normal Christian life is all about, what it means to remain, to be connected the way it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be from the very beginning. Expected to have this kind of relationship with God, expected to love each other and be unified with each other the way it ought to be. That's the way it should be. Unfortunately, a lot of times, it's not. And here, my friends, is what you can expect when it comes to the world around us, around you. Plain and simple, the world hates Jesus. The world hates Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? Why do they hate Him? Why do they despise Him? Why do they detest Him? What's driving that hatred? You know what's driving it? You know why they hate him? It's because Jesus reveals their sins. Oh, he's not beating around the bush. He's not mamby-pambying it. He's not painting it a different picture, my friends. Jesus, plain and simple, is pointing out the sins. And that is why the world hates him. They probably say some things like, oh, no, you didn't. You didn't have to go there. Who are you? What gives you the right to point out my sins? See, that's how the world thinks. I'm going to live like I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. You have no right to tell me what to do. If I had a little game show buzzer or whatever, you know, like Family Feud, I go, eh. He has every right to tell you what to do because he went to the cross. No one else in this world done it. He paid that price. And he has that right. You see, he is revealing the sins in your life. And that shines as light in their darkness. It requires them, it requires them to give up control. Oh, man, really? That's right. When Jesus points out their sins and tells them what they must do, it requires them to give up control, to get off their throne of their lives. So if they hate Jesus so much, how do you think they feel about us, those who identify themselves with him? How do you think they feel about us, those who identify ourselves with him? They hate us. They hate us. They can't stand us. Don't take it personally when you run across people in stores and homes and your family life and workplace. They see that light in you. I guarantee they do. If you are a true child of God and you're following God and you're following Christ, they see the light because the light is exposing their darkness. And they hate that. They can't stand it. They hate Jesus, number one. Oh, yeah, they hate him big time. But when you say, oh, I gave my life to Christ, I identify myself with him. And right off the bat with many, you notice, they hate you. So don't be surprised if the world hates you, and the reason it hates you is, and I love this, the reason why the world hates you, because you do not belong to the world no more. We used to be hooked up there, but not anymore. Now, we are hooked up to Jesus. We are plugged into the power source, the real source. We belong to him. Our identity is with Jesus Christ. Our values, our goals, morality, priorities, worldview, or undergoing change as a result of us following Christ. We change. There is a change. Some people change slowly. Some people change quickly. Some change not at all. But folks, we no longer live to gain the world's affection or approval. We don't. We don't live for that no more. We live to gain God's approval. We must die to him daily. We don't look to the world for approval. We look to our Heavenly Father. And everyone in here tonight has some sort of spiritual identification that identifies who they are and to whom they belong. There are only two kinds of identifications here, folks. Make no mistake about it. There's only two kinds of identification, a mark or a seal. Those with the mark have made what appears to be reasonable compromises in the interest of happiness, prosperity, and blessings. Now, those of us with the seal have made a total, uncompromising commitment to Jesus Christ as the Lord, refusing to take the mark. That's what we did. We've been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. We identify ourselves with Christ Jesus. And this is why it is so important to make sure we are on the right side of the fence. Because being on the wrong side of the fence will lead you to death. Being on the right side of the fence will lead you to life. Which one identifies you? Which one? If I had a conversation with you right now, which one identifies you? Think about that one. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Even when people set up fences in their lives, they still need to learn that danger lurks near the fence. That's right, danger lurks near that fence. And the best place to stay is in the center of the pasture, near the shepherd. When we stay by the shepherd, we are doing several things. We're staying close to his word, which meaning that the Bible, reading it and applying it to our daily lives. We're staying close to his heart. And we do so by staying close to Jesus in our prayer time, by witnessing to lost folks, and yes, serving others above ourselves. Staying close to the church. And the local church helps us because we all need to stay close to his people. Jesus says to us, as he said to his disciples, there's trouble ahead. There's trouble ahead. There's danger ahead. Stay close to me, friends. Stay close to me. I'm your shepherd. I will lead you. Because if we lurk near the fence, which is away from the Bible, the church, God's service, and prayer time, folks, look what happens. We are longing for the things that are outside of his will and where the danger is found. Don't go there. Don't go there. Stay close to your shepherd. Stay close to him. And a good indicator as to how I am doing as a Christian is to test whether I am lurking near that fence or I am staying close to the Savior. That's my test. Are you staying close to your Savior or are you lurking near that fence? Which one is it? We all should share God's desire to keep one another from sin. That should be our constant thought for each other here tonight. Or those who may be listening to this message. What God would accomplish through fencing our hearts and our circumstances, we should seek to accomplish with our words. While it's so atypical of a Midwestern culture to say anything as unpleasant as talking about sin in others, we would plead with our brothers and sisters to part from it with such love, compassion, tenderness in our voices that they would know we were only saying it out of concern for their souls so they would not be on the wrong side of the fence. So what happens if you make a mistake and go into a fenced off area, then realize, it was a wrong decision. Oh, I made a wrong choice. Don't worry. Don't worry. God is good. At the price of Jesus Christ's life, here's the important thing for you to know. He built a gate for you to open and get back in. That gate is not locked. He will never keep it locked. We know the passage in Revelation when it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Yes, he does. But he has that gate open for you to walk in. And we must do the same for him. Open that gate. He's built that gate for you. He built that gate for you to get back in. And God's promise is to forgive us when we walk back through that gate and repent of it. When we realize we made that wrong decision, when we realize we made that wrong turn, when we realize that we allowed sin to infiltrate our lives, repent. Repent. Godly sorrow produces repentance. Because in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says this, my friends. I love this passage here. And it says, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." And also in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, which says this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Whew, thank you, Lord. And I will leave you with this tonight. My friends, look, living God's way, living God's way of life isn't very restrictive. It's not. It's about making the right choices and living a wonderful, happy, carefree life with joy and peace and contentment. God's not restricting you. He puts those fences there for a reason. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have that carefree life. He wants you to have your joy, your peace, your contentment. That's for us to take if we're willing to let him do what he does best, to take care of it. So just don't step over that fence on the edge of the cliff. Don't. The reason for that is, the fence is there for a reason. That simple. Let me say this again so you get this right. Don't step over that fence on the edge of that cliff, because again, that fence is there for a reason. You step over that fence near that edge, you're going to fall. A fence is to protect you and to keep you from going over that edge. Stay close to your shepherd. Stay close to him. Don't stray. Don't wander. And all of us here tonight who listen to this message and who will listen to this message should know that God has put fences up around dangerous areas of our lives, not to limit us, not to restrict us. He put those fences up for a reason. To protect us. To keep us from harm. Because he cares for us. He loves us. And my friends, that is the best reason for having a fence in your life with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.